and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. U.S. stocks plunged today over a long list of concerns. Business reporter Jason Brooks.
Investor worries ramped up over the impact of tariffs on the economy, sending the NASDAQ to its third biggest point decline in its history at 728 points. The S&P to its ninth biggest single-day plunge, while the Dow cratered nearly 890 points.
Bob Dahl of Crossmark Global Investments.
Tariffs are the big item. But there's also a question, will the economy maybe as a result of tariffs weaken, giving us job problems, the consumer slowing?
Some advice from Jill Schlesinger if you're watching your investments with worry.
It's difficult to go through it, but remember, enduring these pullbacks, that's the price of admission if you want to be a long-term investor.
Again, the Dow off 890 points. CBS News Special Report, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Tune in this week to Seth Faces the Music, where I'll be playing songs about going fast. Don't blink, you might miss it. Check it out every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A report released last week from the Wisconsin National Guard shows an increase in reports of sexual assault. However, this doesn't necessarily mean that there are more assaults happening. The Wing report acknowledges that sexual assault is often underreported. They believe the increase in reporting shows an increase in trust of the Wing Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Program. This increase could also show a cultural shift within Wing. These changes have come about after reports more than 5 years ago showed the Guard was violating state and federal law with botched investigations and retaliation against those who spoke up. Senator Tammy Baldwin and Governor Tony Evers called for a review of Guard procedures in March of 2019. The Guard is now required to submit an annual report on sexual assault and harassment within the Wisconsin National Guard and have a public hearing on the report. The top six candidates to become the 78th Alice in Dairyland are announced. The Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection announced the finalists on Friday. They are Allison Foster, Michelle Stangler, Michaela Flight, Natalie Rowe, Olivia Lulich, and Sarah Hagnow. During the next 2 months, they will participate in a rigorous interview process, receive media and speaking training, and earn a DATCP Marketing and Communications Certificate. The Alice in Dairyland Finals are scheduled for May 15th through the 17th in Crawford County. The winner will be announced on May 17th and will begin her term on July 7th, becoming the next ambassador for Ag in Wisconsin. Safety Patrol Night at Taco John's happens this week in Wisconsin Rapids. 100% of the proceeds will be used to support and celebrate the fifth grade students who participate in the Safety Patrol program. Help them out by eating at Taco John's on March 12th between 4 and 8 p.m. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
NFL free agency underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers making big moves on the offensive line. First, they decide not to re-sign center Josh Myers after 4 years. Next, they sign 27-year-old guard Aaron Banks from the 49ers to a four-year deal worth $77 million. And that means Elgton Jenkins, or another player, will have to move over to the center position. On defense, the Packers are losing defensive lineman T.J. Slayton to the Bengals. Slayton agrees to a two-year contract with Cincinnati worth just over $15 million. College basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers have slipped from 12th to the 18th ranked team in the nation after losing at home to struggling Penn State on Saturday. Marquette goes from 20th to 25th after their loss to St. John's. The Bucks losing to the Cavaliers last night, 112 to 100 at Fiserv Forum.
Offensively, we're not good enough to win the game. I thought just standard defense, we did enough to win the game. We didn't do anything else enough.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 30 to the low 30s. Sunshine returns tomorrow and cooler, highs in the mid-40s. But 50s return Wednesday, 60s Thursday, even 70s Friday. Showers and storms and windy Friday, rain to snow and blustery Saturday. Currently, it's 66.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin actor Dan Davies. And then we talk a little fantasy baseball with WGBW's own Peter Van Doren. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, March 10th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 4:30 today, we're going to be joined by our friends from the Historic Point Boss, talk about their Sugarbush event coming up. Right now, though, we have our friend on the phone, Haley Heitzel. She is the 77th Alice in Dairyland. Haley, how you been?
It's been wonderful. How are you doing?
Doing good. Thanks so much for calling up and joining us on the phone lines here. We appreciate it. We know how busy you are, so thanks so much for being able to make the time. Haley and I are going to talk about Big Cheese in a moment. Before we get to that, though, Haley, we had the 78th Alice in Dairyland candidates come up recently, and how'd that go?
Yes, they have their press briefing this past weekend. It's been absolutely wonderful to get to know them a lot better. They are about to go on what is called the hardest job interview around. So it's been really wonderful getting to know them better, teaching them a little bit more about the Alice in Dairyland role. We have ladies coming from all over Wisconsin this year from all different backgrounds, so it's been really great.
Haley, what is some of the process that these candidates are going through?
So up until now, they applied in January to the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protections, just like a typical job application, resume, cover letter. Out of everyone who applied this year, a few of them were selected to come and interview at the department. So they went through a preliminary interview process. And then out of that group, only six were selected to be top candidates for the 78th Alice in Dairyland. In order to be qualified for that initial interview, they had to have experience in communications, public relations, marketing campaigns, agriculture, education, public speaking. There was lots of skills they already needed to bring to the table. So now we're excited to really help them refine those skills. Going forward from here on out, they'll be going to what I lovingly call Alice in Dairyland School. Every week, they'll be tuning in online, and we will be teaching them from our various program partners and also people at the department different ways to be ambassadors for Wisconsin agriculture. They also have to fill out weekly assignments that vary. Some of them are more difficult than others. I can't give you exact details on what those assignments are, but think things that Alice in Dairyland does on a pretty regular basis. Social media posts, blogs, videos, things like that. And those will actually be judged by our finals panelist. And then in May 15th to the 17th, they will have that partially public job interview. There will be some tours of different agricultural businesses. They will have some experiences doing some public speaking. They'll get to try out being on the TV and the radio. And then on the night of the 17th in Crawford County, we will be selecting our 78th Alice in Dairyland.
Wasn't that long ago you were going through this process, Haley. I imagine there's some nostalgia as well as some insight you can give these contestants.
Absolutely. It feels like just yesterday I was being announced as a top candidate. It's definitely a bittersweet feeling, but it's really, really exciting to be able to see more people go through this process. My advice that I always give to anyone who wants to pursue being Alice in Dairyland is to be yourself. Everyone wants to see your best you. And the beauty of the Alice in Dairyland program is that Alice is a new woman every single year. I have a very unique background in agriculture, coming from an urban upbringing and eventually making my way to the dairy barn. But that's not going to be most people in agriculture. And Alice, we want to really showcase each individual person's story in agriculture. And so I always tell them, be genuine, be authentic, and bring your best self to this role.
You know, it turns out Mom was right. Just be yourself.
It's always the right way to do it. It's always the great approach. It's a great first step, just being yourself. And we're looking so forward to how this rolls and following along with this as we get our next 78th Alice in Dairyland. But currently, we are talking to the 77th, and we got Haley with us. And Haley, appreciate all of the information you just gave us. And the topic today, Big Cheese. As a journalist, I want to mention, though, I do have some bias on this topic. I do believe that mozzarella is the perfect cheese. I do believe I'm a big mozzarella fan, Haley. So I just want to get that out there right away as we're going to talk about cheeses here and everything. I'm a little biased. I love mozzarella. But who will be the next big cheese? Let's discuss this, Haley, with our friends.
Yes, so of course it is March right now, and with March comes March Madness, basketball teams battling it out for championship. But Alice in Dairyland, we take a fun spin on it with Wisconsin cheese. I took those over 600 varieties, types, and styles of internationally recognized and awarded cheeses we have in Wisconsin, and I narrowed them down to an elite eight to have them compete for the title of the next big cheese. Unfortunately, mozzarella in its true form of mozzarella did not make my bracket this year, but you'll be happy to know Wisconsin is the number one producer of mozzarella in the U.S., and that is because mozzarella is used so much on pizza. It's actually the number one cheese we produce in Wisconsin. People love mozzarella cheese. But for my bracket this year, I picked out some a little more unique cheeses. Oaxaca is one of those on there, and that's actually a style of mozzarella, sort of. It is like a Mexican style of mozzarella cheese, kind of like a fancy string cheese. So if you haven't tried it yet, I definitely recommend it. If you're a mozzarella fan, you'll really like it. But some of the other cheeses we have on that bracket are Munster, Alpine style, Havarti, Gouda, and mascarpone, and Swiss.
Nice. It's a fun idea, Haley. A big sports fan myself, and I love this time of year in March Madness. So many people love filling out brackets. Here's one more bracket for people to fill out and have some fun with, while also really bringing attention. And you know, one of the things that we like doing, especially with when it comes to our kids or kids in general, is having them learn something without them realizing they're learning. You know, teaching them a lesson while they're having fun. I think you're able to promote so many of these cheeses that people may not know otherwise, and maybe even get them hungry for some of them while just filling out a bracket.
Yes, that is exactly the point. And if you want to go fill out a bracket of your own, you can head to the Alice in Dairyland pages on Facebook and Instagram. Selection Sunday was yesterday, so there was no voting. It was just showcasing those cheeses. As we go out through the rest of March, I will be educating a little bit more about each of those styles of cheeses. We can learn a little bit about them. And then you can go ahead and vote over on our Instagram. That's like on the stories page. So that'll be throughout the rest of March. It's really wonderful to be able to showcase all this cheese because here in America's Dairyland, we really take pride in our cheese making. We produce 25% of the world's supply of specialty cheese, twice as much as any other state in the U.S. We have nearly 1,200 licensed cheesemakers crafting those over 600 varieties, and we're consistently winning more awards than any other place in the world. If Wisconsin was its own country, we would win more awards than any other country in the world for cheese. Everyone has their favorite cheese, just like favorite sports teams. So it's really fun to be able to take a fun spin on that March Madness bracket and do a little bit of learning along the way, like you said.
It is a really great combination and a really cool thing, and appreciate all the effort and time that gets put into this to do this. It's great work, Haley.
Thank you very much.
To give us a small taste of Wisconsin cheese, which cheeses will be facing off today?
So the first round coming up this week is going to be Munster versus Alpine style cheese. So Munster is one of the first semi-soft cheeses in the U.S. It traces its origins to ancient monastic Alsace, France. It arrived in Wisconsin in the late 1800s, where the state's skilled no-nonsense cheesemakers put their own spin on this classic. While traditional European Munster is soft and creamy with a washed rind, Wisconsin's version is firmer, with flavors ranging from mild to sharp. Its signature bright orange, natural annatto coating make it instantly recognizable with that bright orange on the outside. It's an earthy, versatile cheese that is simply irresistible. It's great on its own. It's great on a cheese board. And I know a lot of people really, really love it on sandwiches. The other one we've got is our Alpine-style cheese. Since the 11th century, the Alps have been home to Gruyere and other Alpine-style cheeses crafted to endure the region's snow-packed storms. When immigrants from these mountainous regions settled in Wisconsin, they brought their time-honored cheesemaking traditions with them. Wisconsin cheesemakers continue to honor these classic Alpine-style cheeses using traditional copper vats and old-world techniques. But with Wisconsin's innovative spirit, we're just beginning to unlock the full potential of these nutty, rich, and full-bodied cheeses. This is one that we're going to definitely see more of on a cheese board or with various cheese bearings. It definitely has a stronger flavor and may not be quite so versatile as a Munster, but is equally as delicious.
Boy, that's a tough matchup. I would not want to have to make a choice on that one. That's a tough one to figure out. Where are you going to go with that one, everybody? Get on over to their Facebook page and find out and play along.
Yes, absolutely. It's definitely going to be a tough matchup all the way through the round. Last year, we had cheese curds on the bracket, which that one was an easy winner all the way through. I feel like this year, I don't even have any bets on who is going to win.
That's just it, Haley. I was looking at this list, and I'm like, I think I actually would probably do better with the actual March Madness brackets than I would with this one. And if you've been paying attention to college basketball, anybody out there, it's all bets are off. I mean, who knows who's going to win this year? It's the same thing with these cheeses. There's something fun about this, too, where some of these, I haven't thought of them maybe in a while. I see it and I'm like, oh, that's going to do well. Yeah, that's another fun part of this.
Yeah, I definitely tried to pick cheeses. There's a couple familiar ones on there, of course, the Munsters, the Havartis, things like that that people really do recognize, but still aren't quite as recognized as something like a cheddar or a mozzarella. So I really wanted to delve deeper into some of those more unique cheeses that might not be the first ones we grab for in the case. I also really wanted to highlight these cheeses because when you do go to a grocery store in Wisconsin and you see hundreds of different kinds of cheese in the case, it can be really hard to figure out what kind you want to explore next. Of course, you can always tune in on the Alice page. I'm happy to talk about any kind of cheese on the planet. But you can also always talk to your cheesemonger. They are really happy to point you in the right direction. And so I'm hoping that this gives some love to some of those lesser selected cheeses.
Yeah, well said. How can we tell that dairy products we buy are from Wisconsin, Haley?
That is the really important part. It can also be sometimes a challenge. So when we're shopping at our favorite grocery store or retail location, in Wisconsin, it's usually pretty easy. They'll have their whole section dedicated to Wisconsin cheeses. But when you want to really make sure, you're going to look for the Proudly Wisconsin Cheese or Proudly Wisconsin Dairy badge on all your cheese and dairy products. Or you can look for the number 55 on milk packaging, so those like liquid fluid milks, buttermilk, things like that, and that'll ensure that you are buying genuine Wisconsin dairy products. Buying local is a great way to contribute to our local economy and help support our $52.8 billion dairy industry here in Wisconsin. And if you want to learn more about those Wisconsin cheeses or the dairy industry in our state, you can always visit wisconsincheese.com. They have wonderful educational information on there.
Yeah, bookmark that page, everybody. It will be you'll be going to it a lot. It's a great page. Thank you for that, Haley. We're speaking with 77th Allison Dairyland Haley Heinzel right now. And March is such a big month for our local athletes, our college athletes. There's a lot of playoffs going on the high school and college level. March is a big month for athletes. How does Wisconsin dairy tie into sports?
You're right. March isn't just big for cheese. It's also a really big deal for our Wisconsin athletes. Chocolate milk is actually the official beverage of the WIAA, which is how we wrap those two things together. So whether you're recovering after a game or just enjoying a nutritious treat, chocolate milk is a powerhouse for hydration and recovery. There's 13 essential nutrients in chocolate milk that can really help you recover after a game. And that's whether it's basketball, something really aerobic, or something anaerobic, more like football, or weightlifting. Chocolate milk is really perfect for muscle recovery and helping build muscles. So it's important to raise a glass to Wisconsin's hardworking athletes and our nearly 6,000 dairy farm families, 99% of which are family-owned, more than anywhere else in the United States.
It's pretty impressive. And any chance to talk about chocolate milk, I will take it. I love chocolate milk. It may be my favorite thing to drink. But in part because of how the health benefits of it. And I love whenever we have it feels like it's become a bit of a tradition. We get into this time of year or the beginning of the school year and a lot of our athletes getting to work, bringing up and mentioning again how impactful and how helpful chocolate milk can be.
Absolutely. And it is fun because it does kind of feel like one of those things that should not be a health food, but it really is. So it's absolutely delicious, and it's so good for you, too. I've had several friends tell me, I was actually not a sport player in high school. I was very active in FFA, so I did not have time for sports. But I had several friends tell me, as I've become Alice, they're like, oh, yeah, my coach always had a refrigerator full of chocolate milk that we would just grab right away after practice. And that is really great to hear because chocolate milk is so beneficial for everyone as a fun treat or as a for a recovery beverage.
You mentioned fun treat. It just to let the audience look behind the curtain a little bit, Haley's nice enough to give me some notes and some data to talk about when we have these interviews. One of the sentences I see is complete chocolate milk toast. What is that, Haley? What do we do?
Well, so that would be if we were live on TV.
Gotcha.
So that is meant for, yes, for our TV audience. We do a chocolate milk toast at the end of discussing our cheese bracket to toast those Wisconsin athletes. So, yes, that is what that note means in my talking points. So the talking points go out to radio and to TV.
I want people to, like, imagine in their head what you can imagine would be a chocolate milk toast now. I want you, like, whether you're talking about actually, like, breaded toast or just toasting each other, like, you know, you with your glasses or something like that. Just have some fun with that one.
The intention was the glasses, for sure.
Right on.
That's funny.
I couldn't help myself, Haley. I'm sorry. it's a great note. As we're getting close to wrapping up here a little bit, Haley, one of the things I thought would be fun would kind of go over some of the notes and some of the information that you've come across while putting together this bracket. And just in your time as Alice in Dairyland, we've got a bunch of crazy, insane facts about this area, about Wisconsin in general, and the cheese producing it does. And I think some stuff that may be common knowledge and other things that you have here that I don't think a lot of people know about.
Yes, when it comes to being America's Dairyland, I know I've heard some things along the road about some other states that maybe want to take that title. But when you really look at our cheese production, Wisconsin absolutely takes the cake. There is no doubt about it. We're home to more than 100 cheese-making companies in Wisconsin. We've been crafting cheese for over 180 years, which is one of the reasons that we're one of the most awarded cheese locations in the world. We've been doing it for so long. We've been honing that craft. We are also the only state that requires our cheesemakers to have a license. So they have to go to school. They can't just go out and make cheese one day. We don't let anyone, just anyone, put that proudly Wisconsin cheese label on their cheeses, and that's for a reason. Cheese making is a family business in Wisconsin, with nearly 40% of all of our dairy companies being multi-generational family-owned cheese companies. Some cheese making businesses even go far back as four generations, which is really exciting, just like our dairy farms being family-owned. Wisconsin cheese is available in 98% of the nation's grocery stores. And that's going to be, for a big part of it, going back to the beginning, that mozzarella. Frozen pizzas, a lot of times, are going to have Wisconsin mozzarella on it because it's the top variety of cheese we produce in Wisconsin. And compared to other varieties, 31.4% of the cheese produced in Wisconsin is mozzarella cheese. When we send it everywhere. If you go down to Chicago and you want Chicago deep dish, I can bet you that they have proudly Wisconsin cheese right there in their menu. They're proud to say that that mozzarella is from Wisconsin. In 2023, Wisconsin produced 3.51 billion pounds of cheese. So we make quite a bit. And not only do we produce a lot of mozzarella, we are also the top producer of feta, Romano, provolone, Parmesan, specialty cheese, Munster, and cheddar cheese. So there is a lot of cheese making going on in Wisconsin for sure.
It's really impressive. I mean, any one of those stats we could have spent the whole show on. But there's so much interesting things going on about that. I think the history, the 180 years of producing cheese in this state is very interesting, especially when you go down a rabbit hole and you see some of the old equipment and some of the ways they used to do this. It's really interesting to me, but I think one of the things that I always like to talk about in any chance we get or put some time on is the idea that the cheese making is taken so seriously and so respected in this state that there is classes in school and a degree that you can earn in this. The way that this is approached in this state is not only, I think, fun, but something interesting. And the idea of somebody being able to make a career in this is very cool.
Absolutely. It's very fun, but we also take it very, very seriously. We also have, I missed saying this, we have the only Master Cheesemaker program outside of Europe. And that means that if you see on your cheese when you're going to the grocery store, there'll be a special little logo on there that says Master Cheesemaker. And that means that that cheese was made by somebody who spent 10 years honing the craft of that specific style of cheese. They're also having to go to classes and exams and proving that they have their own really special, unique style of cheese. And they have to go on to continuing education afterwards to continue learning more about that style of cheese. So a cheesemaker that has three different masteries in, you know, let's say cheddar and provolone and mozzarella, spent 30 years, three decades of their life studying cheese, just that. And so we put a lot of effort and a lot of time into those kinds of programs here in Wisconsin. So we want to make sure that not only are we putting out a lot of cheese, we are putting out the best cheese available.
Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why Wisconsin makes the best cheese. And Haley just gave us a walkthrough about all of that. Really appreciate the time, Haley. And certainly want to encourage everybody to fill out those brackets and keep up to date on it every day and check those brackets and see how things are going, see how your favorites are doing. You can do that at the just type into your search bar on Facebook, Allison Dairyland. Follow along with her page and all the things that are going on there. And Haley, if people have other follow-up questions, would like to know more, how can they reach you?
The best way to reach me is either through that Facebook and Instagram page or AllisonDairyland.com. If you have any more questions specifically about Wisconsin cheese, WisconsinCheese.com is a wonderful resource. As Alice, I use it all the time. There's thousands of recipes for all those cheeses we talked about today. You can really learn anything you want to know about Wisconsin cheese from that website.
And anybody out there, schools or anything that thinking about inviting Allison Dairyland, keep in mind you can do that as well. And you can find out so much more information about the things that we've talked about today. Go to AliceInDairyland.com, AliceInDairyland.com. Haley, safe travels out there. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk again real soon.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Hi, this is Beth, inviting you to join me for The Kitchen's Open, the show within the show each Monday morning at 9 a.m. on The Morning Show on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Dane County Board adopted a resolution asking lawmakers to act to prevent gun violence. Savannah Tomei Olson has the story.
Municipal governments aren't allowed to make their own rules on guns, so the board is asking legislators to do so immediately. They're pushing for what are typically called common sense reforms, expanded background checks requiring locked gun storage, and red flag laws, where people can petition the court to have someone's access to their guns temporarily suspended if a judge agrees they're a danger to themselves or others. Guns are the number one cause of death for American children. State Senator Kelda Royce.
I don't know how many dead kids we need for Republicans in this building to start caring about that and prioritizing their lives and their safety over their own political careers. But, you know, other states have done this. some with Republican support. This is not rocket science. This is basic humanity.
More than 700 people die and more than 1,600 are hurt because of gun violence in Wisconsin every year.
Gas prices rose 9.5 cents in the last week for an average of $2.90 today. This is 1 cent lower than a month ago and 31.8 cents lower than this time last year. Officials at GasBuddy say that caution is playing a role in keeping prices lower. Concerns about the direction of the economy could have a major influence on fuel prices in the months ahead, especially with the high level of uncertainty surrounding tariffs. OPEC Plus announced they would gradually begin restoring oil production after nearly 2 years of cuts. This will add further downward pressure on oil prices. Our typical spring increase in prices may not happen or could be smaller than expected. Prices in central Wisconsin today range from $2.89 to $2.99 per gallon. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. One of the great things about hosting Nightlight, getting recommendations from guests I have on the show. Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel was on the show last week, and we were talking about Parasite director Bong Joon-ho's new film. Chris recommended another of his films made in 2006 called The Host, a thriller about a slimy sea creature created from hazardous waste tossed into a river in Korea. If you like suspense and don't mind subtitles, check it out. Even though the Frasier reboot was canceled, Frasier himself says it's not only coming back for season 3, but will bring extra star power. Paramount Plus pulled the plug after season 2, but Kelsey Grammer says a different network will no doubt pick it up. The Emmy-winning actor added that the executive at Paramount Plus, who gave the green light, left and took all the support for the show with him. Grammer says it will be back, and possibly with Ted Danson returning as Sam Malone. Nice to see Ted finally getting some TV work. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 30 to the low 30s. Sunshine returns tomorrow and cooler, highs in the mid-40s. But 50s return Wednesday, 60s Thursday, even 70s Friday. Showers and storms and windy Friday, rain to snow and blustery Saturday. Currently, it's 66.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C., and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Former Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes joins us to discuss the impact on Wisconsin of DOGE cuts. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Welcome everybody to Midday Magazine for this Monday, March 10th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Maloff here. Right now, we're going to talk to some of our favorite people. We got the Historic Point Boston. We got Tom Brenner with us right now, and we're going to talk about their Sugarbush event along with some other fun things going on over at the Historic Point Boss. Tom, good to see you. How you been?
It's great to be here. Been good.
Good. Good to hear, man. Always appreciate the time and love catching up with you guys over at the Historic Point Boss. It's been a busy time for you guys over there. You had a lot of great events going on, and we got another great one right around the corner. The Sugar Bush event at the Historic Point Boss comes up this Saturday, March 15th, 10 to 4. Tom, let's talk about this, and let's tell people about this event as if they haven't heard of it before or something.
Well, it's our annual spring. It's like resurrection for us because we've been not at the site since December.
Right.
We've been there, but the public hasn't been there. And it's a real annual thing in Wisconsin. In history, it was a great thing, almost necessary, because There was no sugar growing up here. A little bit of honey, but mostly maple sugar was the thing. And harvesting in February and March was the big deal for thousands of years.
One of the things that I appreciate so much about what you guys do over there, certainly keeping history alive and, you know, even for some out there, kind of helping them learn things that they may have not known about this area, or they're, you know, taking some pride in their history. But then there's the things, too, that I think that are just universal and I think are always a nice reminder of the perspective of. You mentioned something there about sugar not being that accessible. Mm-hmm. There's going to be people listening to this right now that they can't wrap their minds around that. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? Well, if I want sugar, it's right there. It's always, but this was not, you know, this takes us to a different time when that was not the case.
It doesn't grow here.
No.
And even in southern U.S., very little.
Yeah.
So sorghum down that way. But maple syrup, maple sugar was the big thing for forever.
Well, and in this, I think that right now, especially, it's great for us to learn. Anytime we can help people learn, hey, this doesn't come from here, or mm-hmm. where it comes from, or some, not only gives us a chance to shout out and give some pride in some other areas, like we try to do with our own, but I think just interesting. It's just interesting to find out about this and how far we've come with trade and so much of this with our own goods and their goods and some of that. Tom, one of the other parts of this, too, that I enjoy is just talking about maple syrup. Mm-hmm. Any chance I have to talk about maple syrup, I love being able to do that, Tom. I'm a big fan. And I'm not alone. This is one of the more popular parts of this event as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you'll be able to see maple syrup being made, boiled in a big cauldron, as they would have done 100, 150 years ago. But you'll also get a chance to see how it was done long before that, where we have a hollowed log and we use heated rocks to heat the syrup, to condense it, to make it into syrup, and then into sugar. It's actually a two-step process. And the native people didn't use maple syrup. They maybe did when they were making it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But once they had to put everything away to keep it,
yeah.
And drying was a big thing, and maple sugar is literally dried maple syrup.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's cooked down further until it crystallizes.
It's
and
pretty
for storage, that's the only thing they could do. And they made tons of it, literally mm-hmm. tons of it.
Tom, what are some of the things that will be going on with the event people can look forward to?
Well, besides the making of the syrup itself, they're going to be making some small silver dollar buckwheat pancakes so that people can try a little maple syrup and a little buckwheat pancakes. This year, they're not going to be made in the Wakely House.
Hmm. Interesting.
Well, we're under reconstruction there, and it's not available this spring.
Oh.
So in the bunkhouse, where there is also a wood-fired stove,
mm-hmm.
we will be making pancakes. We'll be talking about tapping maple trees and some things out near the log cabin. There'll be some people working in the blacksmith shop, in the carpenter shop, in the barn, and in the one-room school.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of things to come and see and do, and each one will be kind of themed around the maple harvest, but the big thing will be the boiling of the sap.
I remember getting to take part in this event years ago, long before I worked at the station here and everything. And one of the things that I thought was really cool that I didn't understand, and I learn more and more about this history all the time, is how any one thing we're talking about, just something like this, you know, making maple syrup or sugar in general, even just sugar, how it took a village.
Oh,
you know, nowadays we go, it's one stop. I go here for this particular thing. I go to this place for this particular thing. And when we're talking about something like this, it took the community. It took mm-hmm. So many people to get these things built. It's kind of cool to hear that process.
Especially in the native community, they would go to a sugar bush where it'd be a large grove of maple trees. But then each family had its own little section. And they would then, but literally had to work together. The women did a lot of the making of the syrup because the men were cutting wood and getting, keeping the fires going. So the women and children many times were hauling the birch bark baskets that they used. There's a way to fold birch bark so it's waterproof or will hold water. Mm-hmm. And they would bring that in and then cook it in the log, or later on after contact, they had some large cauldrons, a couple of which we have replicas. Mm-hmm. They're actually old ones that we'll use, but it literally took everybody. They moved there from their winter quarters. They moved into that and stayed there for a time and then would move to their gardens and that later on.
It's another great thing to mention there, too, and the idea of that. And I think that one of the fun things to history that I feel like a lot of us do, you get a little perspective from it, a little bit of understanding. Life can be a grind sometimes. It can be, you know, long days, especially we're on a Monday here, the beginning of the week and everything. I think you take in these experiences, these events, and they give you a lot of perspective and a lot of appreciation of what we have. And I think thank you to the people that trailblazed and got us to this point.
Right. You know, there's one that Mike brought up last year, the first time that we encountered it, is that just before the Civil War, in the North, many people did not want to use white sugar because it was slave manufactured.
Oh, sure.
In the Caribbean, in that area. So they relied a lot on maple sugar, and there was a place in Michigan we learned about where they made thousands and thousands of pounds of maple sugar as an industry and then had it shipped east and sold.
Wow.
So that the people living, the anti-slavery people in the Northeast didn't have to use white sugar and still be able to sweeten their food.
Wow.
It's strange. I mean, and it was a phenomenal. I don't have the numbers here, but just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. The amount of tonnage that they were able to put together to sell.
Really interesting.
And as a community, I'm sure that was a great influx for them.
You know? Oh, yeah. The economic impact that had and such. It's really interesting. Yeah. Tom, you mentioned that you guys haven't been able to be on the grounds for a couple months and everything. How did the prep go for this? What kind of work do you guys do to get the land ready, to get the buildings ready for the Sugar Bush event?
Well, our buildings are pretty good as far as not having to... this year we got through without any real repair.
Oh, good.
So, we have to, have to clean them up a little. Yeah. I mean, let's face it, you know. And we were getting ready there. And then because we've been working on the Wakely House itself, we haven't had the time either to put into that. So it's kind of good that we didn't have any damage. If the weather holds good and it stays reasonably dry, then the grounds will not be too soft and things will work good.
Great. Really good to hear. One of the things that about this event, too, that I enjoy is certainly, yes, talking about maple syrup, learning the history of it and everything. But the chance to just check out the grounds, you know, especially like you mentioned that you guys haven't been there in a couple months. Anybody, if it's been a while since you've been the Historic Point Boss, I think this is one of those signature events that not only welcomes everybody, but everybody can have fun from, everybody can learn from.
Right.
I want to remind people of that.
We've actually got a new building that we've never had before with the Saratoga Town Hall. Hmm. That was, I remember as a kid, it was an ancient old building then. it was moved out to the site last fall and a foundation poured, and there's a walkout basement thing underneath, which it never had before. Hmm. But now they've reset it. The walls are set up, the roof. I believe we'll be done this week. I certainly hope so. Mm. The weather holds, and it sounds like it will.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's something you'll be able to at least see from the outside, is what's going to happen with that town hall. And I think it's going to be a real addition.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then in December of this last year, Wakeley House was raised for the second time off the foundation, moved this time into the front yard. Mm. The old foundation completely torn out, and a new foundation put in there. This is a major investment by a local foundation.
Yeah.
Like in hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
To redo this, but the basement, the foundation that's there now will stand for another 100, 150 years easily. It's well done. We're backfilling it as we speak. In fact, if people want to come out and volunteer, if you like playing in the dirt, this is the week to come and visit us anytime during the week from about 9 till probably 2 in the afternoon. They'll be working backfilling around that building. We're sieving all the dirt to make sure we get back any artifacts, and we have found a bunch of broken pottery, bones, not human, but animal bones, things from around the foundation of the house. How they got there, we're not so terribly sure, but somebody had a pit somewhere.
But
we found several good-sized gallon Ziploc bags full of broken pottery of many different kinds. And now, once we get caught up on this project, then to sit down and try to identify, okay, about what era did this each piece come from? Because you can check that stuff out.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be really, really interesting. And it would be great for research people that want to do research. You want to volunteer? Have I got a deal for you?
It's all great points, Tom. And as usual, you set me up perfectly because I did want to bring up volunteering over there.
Oh, yeah.
And we like to bring that up whenever we get together. Certainly, we want younger people. We want more people down there at the Historic Point Boz to help keep history alive, to give more and more of our kids a future here with this. And this great organization continuing. But then there's the other part of this, too, you mentioned, as far as some of the new additions over there, and we could use some volunteers to help out with some of these things. I would say it was a couple of weekends ago, I took my dad driving around town, and he worked a lot of construction in this area. Mm-hmm. And so we'll go past a building that he worked on maybe 20 years ago, and it's still up and standing, and look in his face and the pride he has in that building that him and his coworkers built and everything. Imagine being able to feel that kind of pride over at the Historic Point Boz. Mm-hmm. Imagine feeling like you were truly a part of history. You were truly a part of keeping history alive just for getting your hands in the dirt. Like, you get to feel that pride from doing something like this. Take an hour out of your day, come on down, help out a little bit. Not only are you going to get a good workout in, going to get some good exercise in, which we could all use a little bit more probably, but you're also going to be able to leave there taking that pride that is eternal. Mm-hmm. Your muscles might be sore for a little bit here afterwards, but that pride you'll have forever. Yep. That's forever, being able to take that pride and knowing that we're keeping the history alive.
You know, many years ago, like 35 years ago, my mom was still around, and she knew what we were doing down there, and one day she said to me, "I think that's nuts. That's just an old pile of sticks." And she was correct physically, because it was a mess. And I looked at her and said, "So is your house, Mom." And she just kind of stared at me, and she became a volunteer after that. Not a lot because of age and infirmity, but she was able to come out and contribute a little bit of physical support.
Mm-hmm.
But when I told her that, she thought for a second, going, "Yeah, I raised my family there. Okay, other people raised their families there." Can you imagine a man, a wife, two children coming in June, having another child in December, and living where you're 100 miles from the nearest road? I mean, I can't imagine it myself.
No, I can't.
I honestly.
No.
It just doesn't. So to preserve that history is just It's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
To be able to do that.
And you can have a hand in that, everybody.
Yes. Yeah.
And whether if you're busy, if you're not able to be a part of this event or help out the project that they have going over there that Tom mentioned earlier, there are events year round on over at the Store Point Bus, which not only do we encourage you to attend and be a volunteer whenever you can, but to certainly be a member and get your season tickets. Yep. You'll have that covered. That way you don't even have to worry about tickets for all these great events. But you're also, again, knowing that you're investing in one of the greatest things we can in our future. When we're talking about Historic Point Bus, yes, we are. This is a lesson in history. This is some pride in history. But we're really talking about the future here. Mm-hmm. We're talking about keeping something around. And while there are plenty of textbooks and plenty of websites nowadays that you can go up and look up the history of Nakusa or the history of this area, there is only one place you can go to literally touch history.
Yep.
Feel history, smell history, walk on the ground of history. There's only one place you can do that.
Right. We're a living history center. We have great museums. We have several.
Yeah.
Three in this area that I could mention right now. I mean, the paper industry and with the Alexander House and with Salford County. I mean, they're great, every one of them. And we are different than them. Not better, not worse, just different.
Yeah.
And when you come into our place, if you want to sit in a chair, you sit in a chair.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to taste the pancakes on Saturday, you can do that.
Yeah.
It's
a way so unique.
Yes. And I love living history places. Mm-hmm. I stop at them when I have a chance, when I'm going somewhere. I walked on the same boards that Abraham Lincoln walked on.
Man.
It's such an amazing feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, ooh.
Mm-hmm. Goosebumps just thinking about it.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the kind of thing and the kind of feeling you can get over at the Historic Point Bus. Want to remind everybody again, their Sugar Bush event at the Historic Point Bus is taking place March 15th, Saturday, March 15th, 10 to 4. For tickets, Tom, how much do these cost? How much can people expect to pay for these?
I knew you were going to ask me and I don't know.
Well, I put you on the spot on purpose. I was just messing with you a little
bit
there.
Thanks a lot.
In part because we're friends, but also because you guys do something so unique over there. These whatever you paid a while ago, everybody, you're still paying. They don't change the prices over there. They make them affordable.
No, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it's $3
It is five for adults, three for students.
Five for three. I knew there was a three.
Preschoolers and members are free. Those are, they you're not going to find many more affordable things for you and your family than this event.
You can come and spend the better part of a day by the time you get to each thing and participate. Don's going to have some carpenter stuff going on in the carpenter shop that you can help participate in. The blacksmith shop, you can't really get in there because that's dangerous, but you can certainly watch him work.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, the pancakes out in the fur trade cabin, we can go over the fur trade. That's 200 years of the economics of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all there was here. Until just before the Civil War was the fur trade.
It's an integral part of the history of this state.
Absolutely.
And especially locally. It really is. And it's a chance to take in history, live history, learn more and have some fun while you're at it as well. And again, if you're a school or a teacher out there listening and you'd like to have your students come and take tours, or if you want to volunteer for any of these things, and to families out there, we certainly encourage you to bring the kids to these events. Same thing with volunteering. Bring the kids on down. Bring people to help out with this. Many hands make light work, of course, but also one of the most important parts about this to adults out there, when you bring kids around, their brains are sponges and they see you caring about history. They see you putting into your community. They're more likely to do that when they become adults.
Right.
That is a big part of this in the kind of handing down of history that we do with this, not only this great event, but all the good things you guys do over there.
When school groups come, and I'm as guilty as the next one, you kind of wonder, are they really getting it?
Mm-hmm.
And then at the next event, kid comes in with grandma and grandpa, and they'll start telling grandma and grandpa about something they see there that they learned on a school group.
Yeah.
I mean, that's our payday. That's we don't get paid, but that's our payment is, wait a minute, I made a difference in this kid. He learned something. It sounds corny, but it's not. Mm-hmm. It really, when you sit back and look at it after a while,
yeah,
it's like, wait a minute.
No, it's an incredible legacy. It yeah. really is. No. That you, everybody over there at Historic Point Boss deserve to take some pride and appreciation in. And let's help them out, everybody, not only attending these events, but volunteering whenever we have a chance to. You can get your tickets and find out more at historicpointboss.com. That's historicpointboss.com. Be sure to follow them on social media as well.
Absolutely.
Tom, a nice job here, by the way. You know, you and I don't do a lot of solo shows together. Nope. Nice work. Yeah, you hung in there. You did a great job, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, I can talk your arm off. When it comes to that, I mean, it's been not quite half my life that I've spent part of my time down there, and it's really, really important.
It really is. And we encourage you to bookmark their webpage, historicpointboss.com. Follow along with all the work that they're doing on their social media accounts, everybody, and help keep history alive over at the Historic Point Boss. We'll meet you there for the Sugar Bush event happening Saturday, March 15th from 10 to 4 over at the Historic Point Boss at 364 Wakely Road in beautiful Nacoosa. Tom, say hi to everybody over there for us. We'll talk again soon.
I'm going there right now. That's why I'm so elegantly dressed in my coveralls and whatever, because we're going to go play in the dirt.
Looking good. Have some fun. We'll talk to you all real soon.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high-quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse, too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to PreventChildAbuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Hans Breitenmoser on the tariff roller coaster farmers are stuck on. They're on, they're off, they're on again. What kind of trade policy is this?
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News Radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Alba, and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the Candidates Debate Watch Party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wfhr.com/contest-terms.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Stocks plunged today over a variety of worries about the economy. The Dow finished 890 points lower. Business reporter Jason Brooks.
Richly valued tech stocks bore the brunt of the sell-off, with AI chipmaker NVIDIA now down 30% from its all-time high, while Tesla shares plunged by double digits, now down 45% in 2025.
Analyst Michael Farr at Hightower Advisors is concerned about the tariffs directed at the country's largest trading partners.
If the policy is changing with 45% of the U.S. trading partners, that's absolutely going to affect our economy. That's going to affect our industry. That's going to affect prices at Walmart and everywhere else.
CBS's Jill Schlesinger's advice for investors.
It's absolutely normal to feel like you want to do something, but try instead to remind yourself that you're saving for a long-term goal, like retirement or maybe college for your kids.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Cammie McCormick.
Join us for the next Midday Magazine. In part one, we'll hang out with the heart of Wisconsin.